Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi
e Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Skating. Daphne is on vacation this week. She's actually in Texas, so please keep her in your thoughts and prayers with the hurricane going on. I'm getting a little nervous for her down there. But Matteo and I are here, and in place of our weekly episode, we decided to do an interview this week.
Yes, we are very excited to welcome back Ryan Stevens to This Week in Skating. Ryan was a guest on the podcast during our first season, and he's now back to talk a bit more with us.
For those not familiar with Ryan, Ryan is dedicated to preserving the rich and fascinating history of our sport through his website, SkateGuard.
Ryan is also an author. He's written four books, The Almanac of Canadian Figure Skating, A Bibliography of Figure Skating, The International Guide to Reading About the World's Most Exciting Sports, Technical Merit, A History of Figure Skating Jumps, and Jackson Haynes, The Skating King.
And in September, he is releasing his fifth book. Now, I love the title of this book. Sequence, Scandals, and Sow Cows. Figure Skating in the 1980s. So we want to welcome Ryan back to This Week in Skating. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I need you to have you follow me around and give me an intro like that everywhere I go. I love it.
I think the last time you were on, was it book number one or book number two that you were we were talking about? Now we're on book number five.
Yes, yes. I think it was book number one or book number two. Yeah, but no, I've been busy, and it's a funny story how this book came about, but we can talk about that later. But I'm really excited to talk with you and to talk about the book.
Great, yeah. And shall we actually start with that? Because we are probably going to put in the show notes a link to the first episode that we had with you, where you talked a lot about your interest in researching into figure skating history, which is quite fascinating. So we are going to come back to it here and there during the episode. But shall we start by asking you, why did you decide you wanted to write another book, and this book in particular?
So, you know, something as a former skater, I think the biggest lesson, the biggest life lesson that I learned from the sport, and I think that it's something that a lot of people have learned from the sport, is that when you fall, you get back up. Last fall, I put my heart and soul into a book that I was really, really proud of, and it didn't go well. And it was discouraging for me. And I said, well, you know, do I want to keep on doing this, or do I want to stop? And, I pretty much decided that I wanted to stop. And then I said, you know what, maybe what you need to do is try to figure out what people would like to read, and write a book that you think the skating community is going to really enjoy, rather than necessarily a book that I would enjoy. So that's why I tackled this topic, because I think that any skating fan who's been around for a while, either, you know, live through the fabulousness that was skating in the 80s, or has watched those videos and realizes just how exciting a time in the sport it was. So I decided to, you know, do this for the fans of the sport.
Now, your timing is interesting with this, because we just went through a whole season of 1980s rhythm dances. Was that your inspiration behind focusing on this decade? I know when you were on our podcast the last time, you mentioned talking about a book about a decade. What was your inspiration behind choosing the 80s as your first decade to focus on?
Well, it was interesting because when I wrote this in January and February, right around the same time that was all going on, but that was kind of a coincidence. I kind of picked the 80s. I think that everybody loves 80s nostalgia. If you think about, there have been a lot of TV series lately that have kind of gone back to that time period in movies. And I think that it's such a fun thing, but also the 80s were that last decade before the internet became a thing. So people back then, they got their skating news from newspapers, from magazines. And it was really must-see TV because there weren't a lot of choices out there back then. And whenever you turned on the television, you had three channels, and one of them, you know, on a Saturday afternoon was going to be skating. So I really wanted to kind of go back to that time and feed that nostalgia. And I suppose all of the great 80s programs that we saw last season are a perfect tie into that.
Yeah.
And we were just a decade off, because when you were on the episode, we finished the episode and we said we should have you back, talk about a decade. And we were talking about the 90s there. So we're not talking about the 90s this time, it's the 80s. But perhaps that could be an inspiration for you for a future book and come back and talk about
the 90s. Oh my gosh. After the work that went into that one, I don't even know if I'd ever want to tackle the 90s, but oh, it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, so let's talk about this work that went into this book, because you sent us the digital file and it was big, and I then looked at the pre-order on Amazon. It's 900 pages. So how much work went into this? No, it's not.
Here's the thing: it's not 900 pages. Oh. Please don't. If you go on Amazon, don't think it's 900 pages. So I'll explain how this all works.
Okay. So I had a hard time downloading it, so that was the problem. And then when I went to go look at Amazon, it said 900 pages. No wonder why I couldn't download it.
No. So it's 282 pages.
Oh, that's much better.
It is. Yes, it's better than that. The way ebooks work, like ebooks work great if you're just doing like a regular novel, but when you're doing a book that's kind of it's a different kind of a layout. Like this is more of, I guess, like a coffee table book slash, I guess, textbook kind of a layout that has a lot of columns. Ebooks can't really do that. So it just puts everything on different pages. So yeah, if you get it on an e-reader, it's going to be really, really long. But if you buy the print version, which I hope that's what people do, because it's so much better enjoyed that way. Then it's less than 300 pages. I'm not going to do that to people.
Okay. But how much, you know, work went into this? Cause you had to, you know, go back and find information, and that's something you do all the time through SkateGuard. So you said January and February you started on it. It's coming out in September. How much? Yeah. Talk a little bit about what it took to put this together.
So this was a huge undertaking, and a lot of the research, I mean, I had to go through newspaper articles, I had to go through back issues of Skating Magazine, American Skating World Magazine, and Canadian Skater Magazine, which were all really popular back then, and I had to watch a lot of videos, and I had to reach out to people, reach out to skaters, and ask them questions, so... and sourcing the pictures was a challenge as well. But I was really fortunate. I was able, the pictures in the book are kind of a combination of, I had two wonderful people that contributed quite a few. And then there's also some great stock photos in there as well. But taking it from the research phase to the writing phase was hard because I started with huge outlines and I had to kind of decide what to keep in and what to cut out. And it was quite a daunting task doing the writing side of it, but I'm happy with how it turned out. Gosh, it could have been 1,000 pages, but I really had to pick and choose what was going to be in there. And I know that skating fans are so knowledgeable, and what I tried to do with the book was teach people something new, not reaffirm the things that they already know. So I didn't, the things that people probably know quite well, I didn't really tend to focus on as much.
Yeah, and you know, I was reflecting when I was looking at your book that these days there is this tendency of thinking that photos and videos are the best source of data that we have, but we actually need to have someone like you to stop and go and collect all the data. And yeah, it's a lot of few photos here and there in the book, but actually have the factual data written down. So I can imagine the amount of work that you had to go through to come up to what you came up with. Would you like to talk about the structure of the book? Because of course I've seen it and it's year by year, so season by season. Would you like to add a bit more about that?
Yeah, so I started the 1979-1980 Olympic season, and I ended, fittingly, at the 1989-1990 season, where figures came to an end at the World Championships right in my home city of Halifax. So that was kind of a neat way to end the book. But each chapter is broken down into sections. Like there's a behind-the-scenes section, a people section. There are sections on skating fashion. There are sections on how music influenced the sport. So, and also I tried to do little sections on different countries around the world where there might not, you know, where their skating history might not have been as well known. And then at the end of each chapter, I did a little blurb on each of the major competitions of the season.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the 80s. Now, I was pretty young in the 80s. So I'm thinking of just some of the big news makers. Of course, the Battle of the Bryans, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a big part of your book. But can you talk about some of, like, maybe some things you learned from putting this book together that you didn't maybe know about skating in the 80s?
I think some really interesting things that I tried to focus on in the book that I found really interesting was how the sport related to some of the big world events that were going on during the decade. I thought it was fascinating to learn that in the fall of 1980, right after they had the Summer Olympic boycott because of the of what had happened with the Soviet Union, some members of Canada's national team actually went to the CFSA and petitioned them not to allow skaters from the Soviet Union to compete at Skate Canada, and they did that successfully. So that's kind of like that Cold War tie-in to the decade. I learned that there was a skating competition in East Berlin when the Berlin Wall came down. That was super interesting. And sadly, one of the topics that I focus on quite a bit in the book is the impact of the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s, which is incredibly, incredibly sad. And I don't think that most people in the skating community realize that more skaters, coaches, and judges died of AIDS-related illnesses than died in the Sabina crash in 1961. Oh, significantly wow. More.
Wow. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I had no clue.
Yeah, so it's sad history, but it's important history.
Yeah, and when I was reading your book, and you know, in the introduction you kind of say what to expect while reading the book, and then you start reading the book and you see all the sections that you mentioned. But to me, potentially because I've studied international studies and international politics when I was at university, of course I got immediately caught by the references to real world events that you have in the book. And it made me think as well about how easy it is to forget that although it's a sport, it drags a lot of history with itself. And you got to think about these decades that we're going through only to think about how much in 10 years' time people are going to say about the decade that we are living now, where we had COVID, we have Ukraine, and the current situation in Israel and Palestine, and how much that is affecting the sport, although it's supposedly not something that relates to the sport. But of course, the effect of that, of those events, is so big that it gets into the sport. And going back to the 80s, it was very interesting because, of course, particularly the AIDS epidemic that you mentioned about, I would have never thought of that impacting the sport, but then it's interesting to read about it. So you're really dragging out pieces of history that I think will definitely catch a lot of people's attention.
Yeah.
I think it was very interesting to me because when I started the research for that element of the book right at the height of the pandemic, I was going to do that as a standalone project on the blog. And just the way that things were dealt with back then versus attitudes right at the height of the pandemic, it was really, really eye-opening. But I also think you're absolutely right. 20, 30 years from now, people are going to look back on this time in the sport and say, how wild was it that all of this happened at the same time and had these impacts on figure skating? And how kind are they going to be about it? I mean, that's the thing, 50 years from now, how kind are they going to be about some of the decisions that were made? What are they going to think about what happened at the last Olympics with, Kamila Valieva and the aftermath of that? So it's interesting because, we're always living through history. And I don't think in the 1980s, people in skating would have realized that their time period would have been kind of that golden age of the sport, but it turned out to be.
Yeah. Yeah, Daphne and I always say when we go to a competition, we're in a skating bubble and that we don't think about anything else around us. But really, I mean, still things are happening. We went to nationals during COVID. The Olympics happened during COVID. So things in the world do still affect skating, whether we want to think they do or not, because we pretend we're in a bubble and nothing else is happening for us except skating. But it really does impact the sport, and it's interesting to see just some of the things you don't even think about that maybe, oh, how would that affect skating. It still does. I want to ask a question about the title of the book. How did that come about? Because you got scandals and sequins in there, and those things, I think, definitely draw people into our sport.
Well, I've got an answer for you there. I think one of the things, and this might not, I've got to be blunt about it. I mean, one of the things I realized when my last book didn't go the way I wanted it to was, you look at how people consume figure skating media, and scandals are what they go for. And that's not what I'm really, all about selling. But I mean, the reality is, if the word scandals in the title is going to get people interested in history, then maybe they'll find reading about some of the scandals in the book interesting. It's not a juicy tell-all, but there are certainly there's some pretty scandalous stuff when it comes to judging that's in there that I think people would find quite interesting. And there's also some pretty revealing stuff about how, quite frankly, how homophobic some of the skating associations were at the time. And there's a section on that as well that I think will really open a lot of people's eyes. And this was coming, some of these comments that were really quite shocking were coming directly from the mouths of presidents of the USFSA and the CFSA. So, there's some shocking stuff in there that I think will open up a lot of eyes.
I feel like it's interesting because you're mentioning this, and there's a lot of that resonates to the current years that we're living in. And you know that they say that history tends to repeat itself. That's one of the feelings that I had reading your book. there are things, as you said, that you're reading there and you think, okay, surely it's 2024 now. We got rid of that. Not entirely, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately not.
No. But you are right. That is what still draws people to our sport, is the scandals and stuff. I don't know how many times. I can't count on my fingers how many times people will still bring up Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding. Now, that was the 90s. But that is a scandal that we can never get rid of, because it is just mainstream. And that's what anybody, when they think of skating, thinks about. And, you know, and we have now a drug, you know, a doping scandal. There's just so much of that. And that's what draws people to our sport. And so it's unfortunate that you have to use that word in your title to try to grab people to your book, because again, that's what draws people to our sport, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's just unfortunately, like, it is what draws people in, and you're absolutely right. I mean, even 50 years from now, people are still going, you mentioned figure skating, they're going to say Nancy and Tonya, you know. And as much as I enjoyed the movie, I mean, I don't think that did the sport any favors at all either, as entertaining as I Tonya was. So it just kind of, yeah, you know, that was a little more revisionist history, but I mean, as entertaining as it was, but I mean, I think that, you know, anything that gets people watching figure skating or reading about figure skating or listening to this podcast is a good thing. You got to draw people in somehow. You absolutely do. Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of very important names in the book, as we said before. So Torvi Lundin, Brian Orton. Have you actually, or are you thinking of sending your book to them as a gift potentially, or to, yeah, to show them what you did, collect memories from their ears?
I'll absolutely be sending copies of the book to some people. I was really fortunate. I had, for my last book, I had Robin Cousins and Christopher Dean write lovely blurbs for my book. And this time around, I've had Ty Babylonia and Randy Gardner, who I absolutely love, have done the same thing. And I'm so thankful of the support in this, from the skating community. And I'll tell people something that don't realize this. I've interviewed a lot of Olympic medalists and world champions over the years. And I find the more famous people are, the nicer they are, believe it or not. Some of the nicer people with the least egos that you're going to find in skating are the people who have every reason to have an ego. I'm always thankful for the support of people in the skating community, for sure.
Now, you are the author of the book, but I'm sure you said you did some interviews and stuff. How many other people were helping you behind the scenes put this book together?
Well, definitely from the picture angle, that was something I couldn't do on my own. I'm not a photographer. I had Paul Dean, who is this, no relation. He's the son of Fred and Joan Dean, who ran the Ice and Roller Skate magazine out of the UK for years. So he has all of their photos, and there are some amazing pictures of Torvald and Dean in the book that came from that collection. And a lovely woman from Germany named Serena Stutzer, who took a lot of, was a very talented and active photographer of skating in the 80s, sent me some wonderful pictures that are in the book as well. So I'm really thankful to them, and lots of people that I reached out to ask questions. Debbie Thomas, Tracy Wayman, the list goes on, but all kinds of names that were able to, you know, answer questions and contribute. So I'm really thankful for that.
As you start naming these names, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, Torval and Dean was an 80s moment, and Ty and Randy. I'm like, at first, all the only thing I could think of was the Battle of the Brines, but there are so many good things that happened in the 80s, and it's just my brain was not remembering them.
Katarina Witt. It was a decade of Katarina Witt and the Battle of the Carmens and Liz Manley and Midori Ito landing the first triple axel by a woman in competition.
Oh, right.
So that was a and Kurt Browning landing the first quad. So, I mean, all kinds of stuff happened. It was pretty wild.
It was
quite a crazy decade.
Yeah. It was.
I have to say as well, you're right about the photos because some of them are so beautiful. And that's definitely one reason out of many more reasons to get your book and go through it because there's so much in there. But the photos are really phenomenal and good quality. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like that online before. So it's quite unique what you decided to include in the book.
Thank you. No, I kind of picked and chose what I wanted to have in there picture wise and really thankful that that part of it came together because that's not, I'm a writer. I am not a photo person.
So would you suggest this book be more of a, like a coffee table sort of book or one that people would want to, you know, read from like beginning or end and all in one day, you know, how people like to do that. They'll read a book all in one day. What do you suggest is the best way to read this book?
I think the best way to read this book is to sit it on your coffee table and say, you know, I'm going to open up to a random page and read about this, or I'm going to read about this skating season today. It's not something that I think that if you read it from cover to cover, you're going to find it very interesting, but it's going to be long. So I think just taking it in little bites and learning, opening up to a random page and learning something new. I think that it's really accessible in that way. Yeah.
All right. Sounds like my type of book.
Yeah.
I can't find time to sit and read a book, you know, from cover to cover in like one day, 2 days. Now for Gracie Gold's book, I didn't read that in maybe like 3 days, but that was a very hard book to, you know, just not put, you didn't want to put it down. Unfortunately, because of, you know, the things that were in there, but I'm one for a book where I love to just go back and say, oh, what happened there? Find out information or, hey, bored, let me check out this decade of, you know, skating. So, so that's sounds like my type of book.
So I really hope people enjoy it. And one thing I do want to share that I think that people might find really interesting, you know, is that you can watch all the videos on YouTube that you want to, but you need to understand the context of a lot of these, you know, things that you're watching because figures counted for a huge part of competitions back then. And unless you really understood what went on in that first phase of the competition, the results aren't always going to make sense. You're not always going to say, well, why did this person, you know, finish second if they skated like that? Well, you kind of need to understand how the standings kind of, you know, went back and forth from one figure to the next, you know, to the short program. And it really gives a lot more context to what you're watching. Mm. So it's a wonderful little companion to all the YouTube videos that you can watch.
Mm. Yeah. You are, you know, very open about the fact that factual data is very important. So that's why you do your research. I guess that's what motivates you in doing what you're doing. But you are right. When you watch something and you have the context around it, of course, it adds quite a lot to what you're doing and what you're watching for you to understand and potentially enjoy even more what you're watching, I would say. So now that you have this book completed, are you still going on with a bit of research? Do you have a new topic that you're working on already?
No. I'm afraid I don't. I like anybody else, I have a really busy day job and I do a lot of my writing in the winter time when I'm not as busy, and in the summer and the fall I'm full on busy with my work, so nothing right now. I'm very much looking forward to the fact that Skate Canada, the 50th anniversary, is coming to my city this fall. So I really hope people will make the trip up to Halifax. And I hope to do I'm talking with another author of a skating book about doing something in conjunction with that. So that might be next thing that I'm working on.
Yeah, but Skate Guard looks like it's you keep it active. So you got stuff going on over there, right?
Yeah, but what a lot of people might know, this might sound, might not know, this might sound a little bit cheating, but a lot of it's the same thing with a lot of podcasts. A lot of the content that I put out there, I've written quite a while ago, and I kind of revisit it before it's published. That's the beauty about writing about history. There's no timeline. And so, yeah, I do a lot of my work for the blog in the wintertime, and I release it in bits.
Okay. Well, I like how you hit it. Like, you come out with some of these history things as an event is going on currently. Like, so when Worlds was in Montreal, you came out with your facts about the last time Worlds was in Montreal and the history behind that. And so I like that. You're very timely with them. So even if you've written them in, you know, how many months ago, you come out with them very timely. So I enjoy that.
There's a method to my madness. What can I say?
When we spoke with you, so it was about a year and a half ago from now, and you were saying that, of course, you love doing all your research, but it's a lot of work, as you're saying. You have a full-time job, like all of us here, and we know how much time it takes. So you touched on how important it is for you to get the support to get your information out. And I remember that you were saying that you were particularly looking for someone from Japan to help you. So do you... Yeah, and so is the poll still out there for people that have an interest in looking for data and supporting you there? Are you still looking for help?
I am absolutely always looking to connect with new people and to work on new projects. I'm all about that. I find that it's always challenging when you're trying to do when you're trying to research things in different countries where you don't speak the language or have access to the material necessarily. But it's amazing the people that you can connect with. I recently connected with a man that did a lot of research on Maribel Vinson-Owen, who was a Olympic skater, a U.S. champion that died in that plane crash in 1961. And he did tons of interviews with different people in the sport quite a few years ago that are no longer with us. So how cool it was to connect with him. And I started sharing some of those interviews with his blessing. So I'm always meeting new people and working on different things with people. So yeah, if you'd ever like to work on something or help, I'd love to hear from you.
Now, you're also asking people to write some reviews on your book too, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So reviews are huge. A lot of people won't review a book if it doesn't, they won't buy a book if it doesn't have any reviews, rather. So having reviews is terribly important. So if you do get a copy or you've read any of my books, leave a review on Amazon, on Goodreads, and on Library Thing. Those are the three sites that it would be a huge help if you could leave a review on.
Now, when's the book come out officially?
It will be out on September 3rd, and it's going to be available through Amazon, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Barnes & Noble in the States, and Waterstones, and all kinds of different stores in the UK and also in Australia and New Zealand as well, through Angus and Robertson. So you can order wherever you like.
See, Mateo, you can even order it too. He said,
yeah,
London.
Exactly.
there are lots of options in London, actually.
And while we wait for the book to come out, I suppose that what people can do is to, if they're not already doing it, they can follow SkateGuard's blog. What's the address actually that they should be looking for to find you?
Absolutely. It's www.skateguardblog.com. There's a newsletter there you can sign up for. I'm going to be sending out the first chapter of the book for people to check out pretty soon. So if you sign up for the newsletter, you can give it a read there.
Okay, very cool. And Ryan, I know you're so busy. And you're writing books, but do you actually read yourself? Do you have a book you're currently reading?
Oh, no, I wish I had time to read. It's funny. One of my coworkers asked me that question. They'd said, they know I love books, and I do. They said, I just finished a really good book. What have you, what have you been reading lately? And I said, well, it was one of our manuals at work. I said, that's the only thing I've had time to read lately. Yeah, but no, unfortunately not.
Okay. Yeah,
that's I noticed like it well.
Yeah, very much so.
I did listen to the audiobook version of Greasy Gold's new book, and I thought that was a very interesting listen.
Yeah, very much so. That was the last book
quite,
I read.
Quite
too.
A life.
Yeah. And I know everybody's posting their summer reading, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I have time for summer reading. What's that? Well, we thank you, Ryan, for joining us for this episode. I hope we'll have you back on for book number 6, whatever that's going to be. But we'll let you like enjoy book number 5. And yes, we will put all the information on where you can find Skateguard, where you can order the book, all in our show notes. We'll put in our first episode with you as well in our show notes. But yeah. And if you're going to be at Skate Canada, people, go check out Ryan. I'm sure he's going to be there up in Halifax.
I will be there. I don't know if I'll be there every single minute, but I'll definitely be there to watch the important parts.
Well, they should let you sell your book up there.
Well, we were actually talking about that, and we said we don't want to sit in the cold, you know, sit there and read it, but we might do me and Philippa Cranston Barron, Toller Cranston's sister.
Oh, okay.
Recently did a book on Toller, which is fabulous, and we might be doing something together, and I'll keep you posted.
Oh, yeah, keep us posted, and we'll let our listeners know. All right, sure. Everyone. See you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.